1876. You're a white male!
It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones.
Move, bitch! Get out the way!
We pledge allegiance to one flag, and that flag is the American flag.
InfoWars helped fuel the rumor that President Obama is an ISIS supporter.
It's been a cozy relationship from the beginning.
I will not let you down. You'll be very, very impressed, I hope. And I think we'll be speaking a lot.
Donald Trump and Alex Jones.
This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
Waging war on corruption. It's
Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Radio Show. I'm David Knight, and we're going to have Alex Jones joining us with a special report from the road in the next segment. Yes, we're going to have Trump be the 45th president, whether or not people like it or not. And, of course, there's a lot that we're going to be talking about with that. We have death threats being given for entertainers, just like they gave death threats to the Electoral College electors. I've never seen this kind of stuff before in my life. I don't think anybody alive has seen this type of thing done before. I don't know that people got death threats for being members of the Electoral College in the 18th century. So, I mean, this is really unprecedented. But we're going to be talking about John Lewis's most recent attack and, of course, the fact that we have now 19 Democrat legislators, or maybe I should just call them the demagogic party. Who cares whether they're there? Who cares whether or not Hollywood is there? Quite frankly, Hollywood and Broadway, and these are some of the people who have dropped out now because they say that it's death threats. You know what? The real death threat is the death threat to their career. There are going to be repercussions for them if they do this. Repercussions from the people who run those places for the most part. You'll never work in this town again. Does that sound familiar? That's really what they're running from, and it's a shame to see that. But, you know, quite frankly, I think that Hollywood doesn't really fit in this inauguration. We're quite happy to have middle America represented with its fife and drum corps and its bagpipes and its majorettes and the small middle America that is despised by Hollywood and the elite of the left and right coast as they then milk them for every cent for their entertainment. You know what? We're not really entertained by this anymore. It's getting quite old, and it's getting to the point where we really, really can't look beyond your political activism to the entertainment that we pay you for. So there may be some actual repercussions for this, for these entertainers who are dropping out, who are getting partisan on this. We've got a singer who has a long career on Broadway. She performed for the Reagan inauguration. She performed for both Bushes. She performed for Clinton. She's performed for everybody, essentially, except for Obama. Interesting, because she's black entertainer. And she was going to perform for Donald Trump's inauguration until she got all of these threats against her. So she's dropped out. Also interesting, like I said, we're going to take a look at the double standard for John Lewis. I understand that he was a civil rights leader. And we have now people like Ben Sasse, a never-Trumper, people like Michael Steele, who was the former RNC head. And, of course, I saw him at the DNC when I was there. He was a rock star for the DNC. I don't remember seeing any other Republicans there, interestingly enough. But anyway, he's coming out and saying, don't go there, Donald Trump. Don't you dare criticize John Lewis because he was involved 50 years ago in the civil rights movement. Well, what has he done lately? That's the point. And if he is acting as a political figure, if he is advocating policies that we're against, remember, he was the one who led the sit-in on the House of the floor of the House after the shooting in Orlando, trying to get more gun control. If he's going to get involved in policies that we don't agree with, he's not immune from being criticized. And yet, and that's exactly what we have Rand Paul saying, and yet the press is using this to play the race card yet again on Donald Trump. We're also going to take a look at the little kerfuffle that's going on about what's going to happen to the establishment press. They're very upset. They said, you're moving us out of the White House. And the press people have for Trump have said, look, you've only got 40-some-odd seats there. We've had over 400 people apply. So as Drudge points out, has a headline, they're actually involving more people. That's a very interesting paradigm there because it's the same thing that's happening on the trade side in globalism. And we'll discuss that a little bit more in the future. Stay with us right after the break. We're going to have Alex Jones joining us.
Crash smashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is Sunday, January 15th, 2017. Alex Jones here reporting from the road. I'll be co-hosting in this hour with David Knight, who's hosting from the InfoWars News Center in Austin, Texas, where we're broadcasting worldwide on this Sunday transmission. These are historic times. I have to preface every segment with that. Incredible developments are happening on every front, good and bad. But first off today, I want to lay out the fact that Reuters, Associated Press, Yahoo News, AFP, The New York Times, Washington Post, all this weekend have been linked up on drudgereport.com. I want to say he's done an amazing job of pointing this out just by linking to their articles. That open world government is now being just admitted. They've gone from just a month and a half ago in the New York Times with stories like, what is globalism? Does it exist? Making fun of yours truly in InfoWars, saying there's no such thing as global corporate government, to having to admit it's real, admit it's being rejected worldwide, and that it's in crisis. And guess who they say is going to prop up world government and is the hope of their whole system? You've heard this here thousands of times. But guess what? They now admit it. Communist China. And the reason I keep saying, see, I told you so, is really only InfoWars geopolitically analyzed what the communist Chinese were saying, what the Davos group was saying, what Bilderberg group was saying, what the Club of Rome was saying, what the Council on Foreign Relations was saying. Again, 200 people or so chair all those major groups I just mentioned. And they are on record pushing a planetary unelected corporate government. And as I've said thousands of times, if we just expose there's a global corporate government that's anti-prosperity, that's crony capitalist, that picks winners and losers, that is completely authoritarian and oppressive by the very dictionary and encyclopedia definitions, it will fall of its own illegitimacy. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason I keep going over this is the whole ballgame. And we are just suddenly seeing devastating defeats for the enemy, bigger than I even envisioned. I expect this to take a decade or more until more of their oppression took place before this awakening took place. So I've been right about everything except the fact that it's imploding faster than I previously thought it would. And there's some good sides to that. There's some bad sides. Because, listen, there's still a lot of underlying corruption system-wide. If we don't replace it with real prosperity and justice-based economies and don't really promote real independence and freedom system-wide, we're still in an explosive crisis because the public's been dumbed down as a tool of control. The public has been balkanized and turned against each other as a tool of social control. And still, those destabilizing, dangerous factors are still there, leftovers of the whole global system. When I say leftovers, globalism is still in full force and still expanding. But dominoes have begun to fall and set in motion its total collapse. So we now need to start discussing, trailblazing, how to come out of globalism, not just here criticizing it, and about how oppressive it is. We have to then deploy the known free market, open free society systems that we know are better replacements for it. So again, that said, for your own eyes, go to InfoWars.com, go to DrudgeReport.com. The reason I mentioned Drudge is Drudge did a great job this weekend of just linking to Yahoo and Associated Press and Reuters. It was just everywhere with the headlines. Global elite look to China to prop up New World Order. Global elite, Davos Group, look to China as the backbone of globalism to save it. Again, who told you globalism was basically a plan to let the communist Chinese take over the planet? I did. Who explained that globalism was a deindustrialization program for the rest of the world, except for China? I did. And the reason I keep going over this is not to brag. It's so you understand we have the enemy battle plan. If we expose the enemy battle plan, it will implode. And you have to understand we have the enemy battle plan. I don't want to territorialize my research. I want everybody to take it. I don't want credit. All I want is people to understand I've done the homework. I've read hundreds of foreign affairs briefings. Hundreds. I have read the globalist communiques. I have watched them on C-SPAN and watched the Davos meetings. I have read their writings. I understand their philosophy. I understand the world they're trying to build. And the fact that we are so close right now to their system is completely imploding is a beautiful thing. But that said, let me go over some of these headlines for you since I was mentioning them here on air. And again, I'm on the road. Let me pull these up for you. Reuters, Davos elite struggle for answers as Trump era dawns. Trump is only the figurehead of nationalism and sovereignty and human self-determination. Trump will be the global figurehead of this in history if he delivers and never sells us out. But he will not be the figurehead if he doesn't deliver. It doesn't matter, though. We don't rise and fall with Trump. Notice they're trying to brand it only as Trump. So they hope that they can destroy his name, destroy him, whether he delivers or not. They're going to try to destroy him. Okay? No, this is a movement against unelected, tyrannical, corporate world government that thought we were so stupid it could establish this thing in our face and that we would just let it run on without any control and basically make us slaves. So it breaks down that they're meeting in Davos right now. And they also point out Trump didn't send anybody as a representative. That's because Trump doesn't need to go meet with you, a bunch of billionaires scheming on how to manipulate governments to make yourselves tax exempt and screw over the little guy. Davos is an evil group. From its founding, it's been all about transferring power from the nation states, from the people to themselves. Trump is delegitimizing it by not going and preparing to announce the first summit once he gets into office in Reykjavik, Iceland, halfway between the United States and Russia in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, just like Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev met 30-plus years ago there. Again, showing that it's nation-state to nation-state that matters and that communicate. And the people's representatives, not a bunch of people's representatives running off to hide, in the mountains, in Davos, landing on their private helicopters in secret to discuss what they're going to do, and then going out and giving press conferences to the world. This is about the people taking control through their governments, and it's happening, and I salute Donald Trump for it. Let's continue. Let's go back to some of the other news articles here. There are a whole bunch of them, but where I'm at doesn't have the best internet, so it's taking a moment to pull it up. Governments grapple with globalization backlash. Again, that's AFP, Yahoo News. And then it goes on to break down in an article by Antonio Rodriguez that the whole world is turning against globalism. And despite the fact they pushed all this racial and sex division, women and minorities in record numbers are voting for nationalism. And they're voting against globalism. A very, very beautiful time to be alive. Here's another one. This is also out of AFP. Chinese leaders meet Davos elite as voters revolt. And you go on and read through the article. They say that the group of 3,000 delegates meeting from the elites in government hope communist China can block populist movements worldwide, just like the communist Chinese are in our newspapers lecturing us, saying you better shut down fake news, you better control the internet, you better shut down your nationalists, they're a destabilizing force. And then computer world, everybody else comes out and says, thank God for the Chinese government, not mentioning their communists or mass murderers, they know how to handle things. Boy, they've been proven right. That's how disconnected and sick our controlled corporate media is. Now, we're going to go to break in a moment, and I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to hand the baton to David after the next segment. But I want to get into the bigger news here domestically, not just the global awakening against world government and the fact that they can't even deny it exists now, a major information warfare victory. But Ron Paul coming out in an article on InfoWars.com warning that the deep state basically may try to assassinate Donald Trump, and how that ties into the inauguration that's coming up, and so much more. I'm Alex Jones. InfoWars.com is the spearhead and the fight for human awakening. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
never gives up. He's Alex Jones, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, worldwide.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. David Knight is coming up in the next segment to host the balance of the transmission, and I'll be back in Texas tomorrow. Again, these are incredibly historic times we're living in. Now just 5 days out from the inauguration of Donald Trump, I want to talk about now the major move by the establishment corporate media and rogue elements of our intelligence agencies, as well as foreign multinational banking institutions, to overturn the populist movement in this country. Now, they still operate like the public are idiots, but they're having to admit global government's real. They're having to admit their system is unelected and unaccountable. They're having to admit that they've got a crisis and have to head us off at the pass. Their answer is authoritarianism. Have an EU army go into the EU member states and not let them leave. That's right. That's being announced. Ignore the Brexit vote, which they've now announced. And here in America, have state-run media come in and block all independent liberty-based media, truth-based media. Now, that's a tall order, isn't it? Well, they're willing to do it. The people that hijacked America and Europe have basically set up a corporate world government from our ingenuity, our technology, our hard work, and the oppression and sweat of third world populations as well. And so now, they are desperate to try to turn the tide of history and are floating all sorts of propaganda about suspension of this election, postponement, national emergencies, martial law. This is being trial ballooned everywhere. A bunch of Democrats aren't going to the inauguration. Members of Congress are saying that Trump's illegitimate and the media is giving him a bunch of support and coverage to hope it snowballs. And then Ron Paul comes out in a statement, it's up on Infowars.com, and says he's really concerned about the deep state overthrowing Trump if they can't infiltrate him and nudge him, that they could do to Trump what they did to JFK in 1963 in Dallas, Texas. Now, you notice that is echoing exactly what I've been saying for months. And again, we're on target. I told you they try to overturn the delegates, that they do recounts. I told you they federalize the elections. Obama did that 2 weeks ago. So if they do try to overturn this election now, the new election will be under their control. Now, let me pull this up from Infowars.com right now because it's so incredibly important. And again, you can tie all this into the treasonous behavior of MSM going, oh, the Davos group says the communist Chinese are going to save us and use their economic will to grapple with Trump, and they'll keep America in line. Our own media is so traitorous and so lapdog and so disconnected that they don't think it sounds traitorous and treasonous and bizarre and collaborator to be praising the communist Chinese as the corporate saviors to link up with the globalists and the Bloombergs of the world to continue to oppress the American people and other populist movements into submission. I mean, you couldn't write a script like this. It'd be like if aliens invaded the Earth and the corporations came out and said, let's join with the aliens against fellow humans. I mean, the script is that ass backwards. It's so obviously bad guy, villain garbage. And again, it's a huge victory because they're now having to admit it all. Now, here's the story. Will the CIA assassinate Trump? Ron Paul warns of more powerful shadow government. Trump is treading dangerous waters and risk the fate of JFK. Some Max Slavo article up on Infowars.com. It isn't just that Donald Trump routinely thumbs his nose at the establishment, insults media figures he sees as unfair, and bucks conventional wisdom. It is that President-elect Trump is defying the will of the deep state, military-industrial complex, base of ultimate power in the United States. This is why he's treading dangerous waters and risks the fate of JFK. And that's what Ron Paul is saying in an interview posted to Infowars.com. This story is very important. And embedded in the article, we've added my emergency message to Donald Trump that I cut yesterday, where I lay all of this out. Now, here's why the so-called deep state people are in big trouble. If this was 10 years ago, a president could not buck you, okay? But also 10 years ago, you had people in place who were globalist establishment minions. But now the climate is such that even most people in intelligence agencies understand that the global elite controlling things are really nasty, bad people. It's not that intelligence agencies in the modern era aren't for command and control authoritarian states, but that was because they were taught from college that we need authoritarianism to control third world and Arab countries. Not that the West needed to be under authoritarianism. Now, that was still kind of an arrogant, elitist, white man's burden, Rudyard Kipling angle that came out of the British Empire. That whole spirit, that whole attitude. But this goes so much further into actually social engineering society and creating autocratic systems so that you have a servile, dumb population that needs to be led and needs to be controlled. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, the ultimate form of oppression, to create a servile, dumbed-down mass of people, which WikiLeaks and other documents show is their admitted plan. So now that we have global government out in the open, let's start really dissecting who's behind it. Special corporate interests that don't want to just defend America or just get rich competing to create powerful weapon systems, but groups that are creating weapon systems that are designed to even make our so-called allies dependent and that are designed to actually create wars, not stop wars. I mean, what's the point of creating all these weapons and all these systems if they end up destroying the planet? What is the point of that? They always claim that they're pitching global government in the name of ending war, when their global government is actually at war with humanity itself and at war with civilization that is more equally distributed. And I don't mean that in some communist term. I mean in the free market of ideas. They're creating the ultimate class structure where they want data, information, life extension only transferred to the elites and segregated from the general mass of the public in a breakaway civilization system. So everyone should go to Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and get this article with Ron Paul basically warning of everything I've warned of. The deep state is incredibly inbred. It's disconnected from reality. It's eugenics based in its philosophy and systems, and it is the main threat to our planet today. I'm not opposing the aristocracy of the planet because I want to be the aristocracy. That's the old classic revolution that, you know, today's revolutionary is tomorrow's, you know, ruler. No, I truly want to have a free market, renaissance, open culture like the forefathers did, and I am someone who 100% believes in Americanism, not globalism. Globalism is just old, corrupt, centralized empires where you have to have a license to even have a job or a license to create a good, and where everything is run by monopolies and inbred elites who run around with their noses in the air. I fundamentally hate those inbred elites that do not deserve to rule over us, because if they were true leaders, they would understand that they could lead and people would follow them and support them, but instead they want to rule over us instead of leading by example. You are inbred, you are degenerate, you are anti-human, you basically project your own self-loathing and hatred onto us, and you need to fall. But the big news is, only 5 days left, they're openly now discussing in the news overthrowing the Trump election. We are right again, folks. And again, I don't like to brag and say, we're right. You need to understand, we have the blueprint. We have the program. We understand the enemy operation. And if we will just spread the word and expose it, they will fall. They will be defeated.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, January the 15th, 2017. It's amazing to see the reactions of people that think that we care if they go to the inauguration. Now, we got a lot of Hollywood performers who are dropping out. Some of them say that they are being threatened with death threats. And, of course, I believe that. We've seen people with the Electoral College that have been threatened with death threats. But, of course, these entertainers are looking at the death of their career. They will not work in Hollywood again if anybody thinks that they did anything to help Donald Trump. Nicole Kidman is the one who got it right. What we're celebrating here is democracy and a peaceful transition of power, something that I would think everybody would support. But, of course, we have now, I think the count is up to 19 self-serving, publicity-seeking Democrat lawyers, I think we need to call it the Demagogic Party, are now saying they're going to boycott or they're going to participate in protests during the Trump inauguration. fine. We don't really need you there. We could care less. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the people in the press corps that are so bent out of shape about what's happening. And, of course, the top of Drudge, it said Trump is going to open this up to more people in the press. That's the way you need to understand that. So we're going to break that information down for you, as well as look at the developing opposition to Trump from Paul Ryan. And, of course, we said this was going to happen. We said that the number one opposition figure to Donald Trump was going to be Paul Ryan. And now we see that Paul Ryan and the GOP are starting to push back on Trump's Buy America. Oh, we don't want that. They pulled it out of the first bill to have that in there. They say, he said on Friday, Ryan told somebody, we're not going to pull the rug out from underneath dreamers. We're not going to send you home if you came here and said you're a dreamer. Remember, dreamers are anybody who comes here up to the age of 31. A foreign citizen who comes here illegally, decides they're going to stay, and then says that they're dreaming of American benefits. And so, of course, Paul Ryan is eager to hand that out to them, to tell them that they can stay, all these dreamers up to the age of 31. They're not going to go out. And then, of course, he was also saying that he's pushing back against Donald Trump's idea about lobbyists. Trump said, I want to put a ban on people. If you're going to come here and serve in the government, you're not going to then turn around in a revolving door and become a lobbyist 1 year after you leave office. We're going to make that 5 years. And if you want to be a lobbyist for a foreign country, ain't going to happen. A lifetime ban. Paul Ryan says, I think that's really a dangerous idea. He also thinks it's dangerous to have term limits. And that's another thing he's opposing Donald Trump on. So we're going to talk about all those things as well. Before we get to the news, though, I just want to remind you that we have a special at InfoWarsLife.com. This is how we fund our operation. We don't get money from George Soros, like Media Matters. We don't get money from the federal government, like NPR. No, instead, we offer you products that help you to protect your health, to protect your safety. Things like the bulletproof vest inserts, the bulletproof vest and the inserts that you can put in your backpack, the carbon nanotube technology, state-of-the-art technology, and anti-ballistics. But I want to focus right now on the specials we have, the Make Our Body Great Again initiative. We have discounts from 20 to 30% off. We have 20% off Secret 12, vitamin B12. That's in a liquid formulation, a very good form of B12, very easy way for your body to assimilate it as well. We also have 20% off Liver Shield, Prostaguard, and Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid. It's very important for your health to get restful, deep sleep. And if you're not getting it for some reason, you can use a natural aid like Knockout to make sure that that happens. Also, we have 30% off Survival Shield X2. That's our nascent iodine. Iodine, which used to be put into salt and many other food additives because they understood that your body needs a certain amount of it to be healthy. That's not the case anymore in today's America. They put other things that your body needs to be able to fight back against toxins that are in your food, your water, and your air as they remove essential nutrients. So that's one of the reasons why we offer these products. You can also get Super Male Vitality, 30% off, and Brain Force, 30% off. My favorite supplement that we have. It really helps to focus your mind. And after a long absence, we now have back in stock DNA Force. It's been out for over a month. We've got it back in with an emergency shipment. It's very difficult for us to get this key ingredient, BioPQQ, costs about $30,000 a batch. You can see there's 175 clinical studies. You can look at that and see what BioPQQ does for your body, for your DNA. And we have that back in stock now. So to help you get stocked back up, we have a 10% discount. And if this runs out, it's going to be a little while longer before we get another backup shipment. So that's something to take advantage of right now. 10% discount is a substantial discount on that product. It's probably our premier product in terms of cost because of that very difficult to get and expensive ingredient, BioPQQ. Now, as Alex was talking about earlier in the program, the news that we saw all day yesterday and still today, of course, is Davos in Switzerland, the big globalist confab. Now, this is the one that they want you to know about, not Bilderberg. They do the same thing at Davos that they do at Bilderberg. They all get together and you have these political leaders and the elites of the press and of business all get together and, you know, kind of conspire to do things, I'm sure. Nothing at all illegal, nothing that would be criminal, of course. But they want you to know that they're doing it at Davos. They, for some reason, tried to keep Bilderberg completely secret. That's why we show that so much. We want you to see who's going there. And, of course, they have a lot of celebrities that show up at Davos, celebrities that won't be going to the Trump inauguration. because they're on the other side. But I tweeted this out on my Twitter account. It's Libertarian, if you want to follow it. I thought it's an irony that they've now chosen the Chinese to be their spokesperson, their leader. Now, the Chinese premier president is out there in front. You know, here we have the most hyper-nationalistic country, and he's supposedly the globalist leader, the people who say, oh, we don't like nationalism. We want a one world government. And yet China is the most hyper-nationalist country and aggressive country you can find anywhere. I mean, look what they're doing in the South China Sea, right off the coast of the Philippines. China is also the most protectionist country that you can find. Isn't it an irony that here we have this protectionist country that is now going to be the spokesperson for all these globalists who say, no, we have to have open trade. Open trade is the only way to go. No, China is about a one-way policy. I talk about a one-China policy. They got a one-way trade policy. That's what China has. So when you look at protectionism, when you look at nationalism, all the things that the globalists are supposed to despise, that is the very embodiment of that in China to the greatest degree of any country and greater degree than what Donald Trump has proposed. And yet, he is their leader because they have chosen the Chinese as the tool to take down the West, as Alex pointed out. And so it's not really an irony. It's simply the lies of globalism that we see going on in Davos now. And of course, we have a new world press order that is starting to establish in the wake, especially of this press conference that we had this last week. It's a new order for the press. And the press is really, really getting upset about the fact that there's talk about moving them out of the office that they had in the White House and into an office in the adjacent building. And the way most of the press is depicting this is the way The Hill does it. The Hill says Trump team is considering evicting the press from the White House as a report. Well, that's not true. They're not talking about evicting them. They're talking about putting them into a bigger room. And Reince Priebus points out that the reason they're doing this is because they've had so many people apply for this. He said, we can only fit 49 people in that room in the White House. We can fit 400 in this other facility that we're looking at. And if you look at the top of Drudge, Drudge is saying it's essentially they're expanding this. And again, this is an interesting parallel to what they're talking about, the whine of the globalists. When they start talking about how awful it would be if we had trade deals that worked for America, they say, oh, this would be isolationism. This would lead to a smaller economy. When in reality, what it would do is it would open up the economy to some of the small businesses that are locked out of this because only the big boys are allowed to play. So that's what's happening. That's what we're talking about when we talk about trade. And the same way, that's what's really happening here with the press corps. The big guys who have always had a place at the table, who think that they're entitled to this, who have been connected to the establishment and say what the establishment tells them to say, they have muscled out everybody else. And now it's opening up. You see, it's an opening. It's not a closing in both trade and in press. It's a new world press order. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center. In the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. I want to take a look at what's going on now, this back and forth between John Lewis. And of course, he came out and said that he thought that Trump is not a legitimate president. He didn't think that he could ever work with him. And, of course, we've seen Chuck Schumer say, you know what, first, we don't even know who the Supreme Court nominee is, but as soon as Donald Trump puts one out there, we're going to shut it down. We understand that. That's partisan politics. And yet, the thing that bothered me about this was that when Donald Trump pushed back and said, what have you done for your constituents lately? You know, we understand he was a leader of the civil rights movement when he was 25, 50 years ago, okay? But now he's in his mid-70s. He's had 30 years in Congress. What has he done for his district? What has he done for the country? I can't really say. I know that he staged a sit-in on the floor last summer after the shooting in Orlando trying to get more gun control. He hasn't helped the people in his district, and that's what Donald Trump pointed out. And then we had all these people like Ben Sasse, who's always been with the Never Trumpers, always trying to say he's a nonpartisan senator. He wants you to see him as rising above the political establishment, and yet he was deeply involved in the political establishment, trying to shut down somebody who genuinely was out of the political establishment, and that was Donald Trump. I guess Donald Trump took his marketing position. He didn't like that. Then we also have Michael Steele, former head of the RNC, saying, don't you even go there. Don't you even go there, Donald Trump. Don't you even talk about this guy. He's a sacred cow. And I guess, look, without any disrespect for what he did, and we're going to talk about what he did here, and we're going to talk about things that he's right on, that he could work with Donald Trump on. We've got Robert Kennedy Jr., who disagrees on a whole array of issues with Donald Trump, and yet on the issue that's important, that he believes is important, that he sees that he can get something done about, he's willing to work with Donald Trump on that issue. It'd be great if John Lewis were a statesman like that, but he isn't. He isn't. You know, we say that, and it's always these people who say, you can't attack me personally. You can't say anything about me because of who I am. They're always the ones who engage in ad hominem attacks, aren't they? And, you know, there's an element of this. Before I get into him, I got to say also on the other side, I believe that we should be able to criticize Donald Trump's policies. And to criticize Donald Trump's policies is not necessarily criticizing the man. Most of these people now are criticizing Donald Trump, the man. They're not coming after his policies. But I think Donald Trump actually wants people who will disagree with his policies. Look at the people he's put in his cabinet. They've had some open disagreements with Donald Trump on some core issues that he campaigned on. And you can look at that one of two ways. You can either say, well, Donald Trump either lied to us or he's selling out or he's being co-opted or whatever. I don't think that's the case. I think it's more likely that he wants people who are going to be looking at offering him dissent and multiple options. I think he's a person who has an open mind to things and will examine the facts on both sides of the issues and is not afraid to take an unpopular decision like vaccines or like talking about the missing 28 pages of the 9/11 report. So I think he wants people who are going to question the conventional wisdom of the establishment. That's what made Donald Trump. And so I think when we talk about policies and we have issues with policies that people in his cabinet or that Donald Trump might talk about, I always get from people who are following InfoWars that like Donald Trump, they come after me. He's like, don't you ever say anything about Donald Trump? Well, I'm not saying anything about Donald Trump. I'm talking about his policies. And like I pointed out, I think he is open to hearing dissent or he wouldn't have the kind of people that he has in his cabinet. But let's talk about John Lewis, okay? This guy was a leader of the civil rights movement, as I pointed out, 50 years ago. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But here's what he had to say about Donald Trump that started all of this. It's an interview with Chuck Todd on NBC. Here's what he had to say.
You have forged relationships with many presidents. Do you plan on trying to forge a relationship with Donald Trump?
You know, I believe in forgiveness. I believe in trying to work with people. It's going to be hard. It's going to be very difficult. I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president.
You do not consider him a legitimate president. Why is that?
I think the Russians participated in helping this man get elected.
There we go. The Russians did it. Okay, so that's there we are. We're back to selling this again. How long will they continue with this? And that's the whole point about making him illegitimate, about trying to say they can come after him, and also about tying his hands in terms of the Cold War. And if John Lewis doesn't realize that that's what this is ultimately about, the deep state trying to tie Donald Trump's hands in the Cold War, trying to stop him from de-escalating the Cold War that the deep state started with the aid of Obama, then he's being used as a dupe by those people. But this is what Donald Trump responded. He said, Congressman John Lewis should spend more time, he put this out on Twitter, should spend more time on fixing and helping his district, which is in horrible shape and falling apart, not to mention crime-infested, rather than falsely complaining about the election results. All talk, 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 no action or results. Isn't that sad? And, you know, it is sad because there's a lot of things that he could work with Donald Trump on. He opposed the TPP. He opposed these trade issues when they came up. He also opposed the 2000 trade agreement with China. See, he could work in the opposition to NAFTA and the opposition to the Chinese trade agreements. He could work with Donald Trump. You know, he also opposed dragnet surveillance by the NSA when it was done by Bush, but he didn't oppose it when it was done by Obama. Start to get the picture? He doesn't really care about these issues, or he would work against it when Obama does it, not just when Bush is doing it. And he would work with Donald Trump on opposing NAFTA, on renegotiating NAFTA, on renegotiating the Chinese trade agreements. There's a lot of things that John Lewis could make common cause with, that he could work to make things better for his district, to work to make things better for America. But instead, he has chosen to play these little demagogic tricks. And that's the essence of the Democrat Party. But what I guess I'm most disappointed in are these so-called Republicans, these rhinos like Michael Steele. And as I point out, I saw him at the DNC, and he was a rock star with the Democrats. I don't recall seeing any other Republicans there, but people were just all around him and patting him on the back. He was a big celebrity, and this is what he had to say. Let's play this clip from Michael Steele.
And B, his questioning legitimacy.
Number one, don't tweet that. Number two, don't go there.
Yeah,
you can't talk about that. You can't criticize
it. Step back and try to appreciate what's being said and what the concern is. Now, yeah, you can put it in the partisan context. You know, he's a Democrat and I'm a Republican. He's black, I'm white, and all of that. But it goes to what you were just saying about what's undergirding that and how does a community perceive your respect or lack of respect for their leaders?
Right. Yep.
And that says a lot. And I think if you're looking to heal and bridge and bring the people of America together, well, we're part of that.
Yeah.
As black folks, we're part of that. So our expectation
okay,
is...
Okay, let's hold that right there. Now, you heard that clip from John Lewis, and he said, I believe in forgiveness, but I can't forgive Donald Trump. I can't work with Donald Trump. He's not legitimate. See, there's not any room there from people who are so hyper-partisan like John Lewis and Chuck Schumer. There's no room to reach out to those people, in spite of what Michael Steele says. Let's play the clip from Rand Paul, because I think he got it precisely right. Here's what Rand Paul had to say about partisanism. If you're that partisan, you are not immune to criticism.
So I think we shouldn't, when things involve race, it gets very, very sensitive. All of us, or none of us actually, want to be considered to be either racially insensitive. And so it's a very, very important subject. But I think we shouldn't ignore that people are partisan. So John Lewis is a partisan. I have a great deal of respect for him, but he's a partisan, and I disagree with him on issues. I should be able to honestly disagree with him and not have it all come back to I have no appreciation for civil rights icon because of this. And I think that's the part that I think sometimes unfair in this.
Okay, that's true. And that's let's go back and look at how he was a civil rights leader. He got involved with the Freedom Riders. What were the Freedom Riders? They were people who said, look, there's been a Supreme Court decision. There's a law saying that you cannot have segregated buses. You can't put us in the back of the bus if it's going between states, if it's an interstate bus ride, because the federal government can have jurisdiction on that, unlike when it's strictly within the state. And so to make their point and to get the federal government to enforce that, they set up a bunch of freedom rides where they had black people and white people get on buses and they were going to drive through the South and go up into Washington, D.C. As that happened, as they were going through Montgomery, Alabama in 1961, that bus was attacked. The bunches of buses were attacked and people were dragged out of that, black and white, were beaten. The buses were burned. And the Ku Klux Klan guy who did that was defended by Morris Dees, the guy who is the president and founder of the Southern Poverty Law Center. That was Morris Dees's only involvement in the civil rights movement, was to defend the Ku Klux Klan leader who did that. And he got paid what was then the annual median family of four income. But he wanted to make a lot more money, and he did. And that's what the Southern Poverty Law Center is about. And we're going to play a clip from that, and a clip from a report that I did back in 2014 called Prophets of Hate. The SPLC is always prophesying about hate groups, but no, it's really about profit, P-R-O-F-I-T.
It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones.
Move, bitch! Get out the way!
We pledge allegiance to one flag, and that flag is the American. American flag.
InfoWars helped fuel the rumor that President Obama is an ISIS supporter.
It's been a cozy relationship from the beginning.
I will not let you down. You will be very, very impressed, I hope. And I think we'll be speaking a lot.
Donald Trump and Alex Jones.
This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
Waging war on corruption. It's
Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, January the 15th, 2017. We're getting very close to the inauguration of Donald Trump. And, of course, the Democrats are stepping up their opposition to him, as we reported on Friday. And we had Michael Snyder on the radio show. He broke down the plans that we have from people like Bill Ayers and the leader of the Communist Party and others saying that they want to create disruption. And this is a plan to create chaos, if not martial law. It's interesting that you see people on the left like Rosie O'Donnell using the term martial law. She spelled it correctly, but I don't think she understands the definition of martial law. If she did, she would not be calling for it, I don't think. But she's out there as a willing dupe for the left, for George Soros and others. I want to get back to what John Lewis is doing, because he's part of the effort now to delegitimize Donald Trump, again saying, oh, because of the Russians. No, see, the thing is, he doesn't know who to blame in various situations. If you go back and you look at the shooting that was in Orlando, what was his response to that? His response was to lead a sit-in on the House floor and say, we're going to sit here and we're going to stop all business until you bring up some gun control measures to protect us from guns. See, that wasn't the issue. The issue was that the government and the Department of Justice and the people, local law enforcement, they tried to hide the fact from us that he'd called into 9/11 and had read a Muslim prayer in Arabic using the terms Allah and so forth, or they translated as God and so forth. It was clearly a situation where you've got a terrorism event, but the way that they want to, the people they want to blame is not the religion of peace. No, they want to blame peaceful, law-abiding American citizens. So he doesn't know who to hold responsible for these events. In the same way, that now he's blaming Russia for Hillary and the DNC. Hillary's failing as a candidate. The DNC's being exposed as political hacks. See, that's where the hacking of the election came in. We found out that the DNC were political hacks who stole the election from Bernie Sanders. You want to get upset about something like that, then, you know, about somebody stealing the election, get upset with the DNC. What was exposed was the truth about these people, that they are hacks. There was no hacking of voting machines. There was nothing that needs to change cybersecurity except to get rid of any voting machines that we have to make it a paper ballot situation. But that's what they're doing. And, of course, he's not upset about the fact that national security was hacked by Russia and by every other government on earth because of Hillary Clinton's gross incompetence and criminal negligence in handling secure documents. Why aren't they upset about that? Well, okay, we know that they know better. And so it isn't just that John Lewis doesn't know who to blame in the shooting in Orlando. It isn't that he doesn't know who to blame about the documents. He blames a whistleblower, as always, rather than the people who created the crimes. And so that's the real issue. And as I pointed out before, if he really wanted to make his district better, as Donald Trump pointed out, you know, he could do things to make his district better. He's been there for 30 years. What has he done for anybody in his district or in America? Nothing. He has opposed NAFTA. He opposed the 2000 trade agreement with China, but he only opposes things like that and NSA surveillance when it's being done by Republicans for the most part. And that's what he needs to get beyond, is that rabid partisanship. And when we come back, I'm going to play you something that goes back to his position as a civil rights leader. And I think this is all very pertinent as we look at the fact that Donald Trump has been told he can't come to the Black History Museum. They don't want him there to celebrate Martin Luther King Day. He'll have to come some other time. Maybe after he's president, they'll have to see. That's the kind of inclusiveness we see now from civil rights leaders like John Lewis. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We are on the march. The empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host, and I want to continue with the story about John Lewis, because I think John Lewis is deliberately provoking this attack to be timed with Martin Luther King Day. and the Black History Museum that's just recently opened in Washington, D.C. Donald Trump is going to go there to honor the contributions of people like John Lewis, who had been involved in the Civil Rights Movement. And as I pointed out in the last segment, being involved as a freedom rider in that. And yet, he's now being told, don't come. Don't come. We don't want you here. He's trying to reach out, trying to do something, trying to honor these people, but they don't want it. And they're saying, if you criticize him for his partisan attacks against you, if you criticize and push back against John Lewis because he personally attacks you, not even attacking your policies, but attacking you, then that is over the limit. Don't even go there, said Michael Steele, former RNC head. And, of course, Ben Sasse jumping in on that as well, but most of the left. But this is all being orchestrated, and they're putting John Lewis out in front because they want to tie all of this together along with Martin Luther King Day and do that in the run-up to the election. Again, pushing. Russia did it to tie his hands in de-escalating the Cold War that Obama did, that Hillary did. Their Russian reset was a reset of the Cold War. Donald Trump wants to de-escalate these tensions, and everybody should support that. We don't want to have a war with Russia. Obviously, there are people in the American government, in the deep state, who do, in the military-industrial complex. Leaders, the Republican and Democrat Party, people like John McCain, Lindsey Graham, they want it just like they wanted to set Syria on fire and did set Syria on fire. We're not going to let them do it to America. You can try to push people back and forth. This Democrat Party is nothing but a demagogue party that focuses on demographics. They pit one group against another, and they shift back and forth, do a quick 180 whenever it suits them. And the perfect example of this is the Southern Poverty Law Center and Morris Dees. As I pointed out, it's ironic, isn't it, that John Lewis, who became a civil rights leader mainly because of his freedom riders, and those freedom riders were attacked, their buses were burnt, people were beaten, and Morris Dees defended the Ku Klux Klan. Isn't that interesting? Can John Lewis find it within him to forgive Morris Dees? Of course he can, because they're on the same political team. And what is the thing that motivates Morris Dees to become a white savior for the civil rights movement after the civil rights movement ended? I did a report back in 2014. I called it Prophets of Hate. It's kind of a pun because the Southern Poverty Law Center is always prophesying about the dire consequences of all these hate groups, about the dire consequences of people exercising their freedom of religion if it comes to Christianity. But it's really not about prophesying of the coming of hatred and violence. No, it's really about profits, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, dollar signs. That's what motivates the Southern Poverty Law Center. And profits and power are what motivate demagogues and the Democrat Party. I want to play a little bit of a clip for you from this report that I did 2 years ago called Profits of Hate about the Southern Poverty Law Center.
It's an interesting comparison for the SPLC to make since it got its start in the violent racist confrontations of the 60s. On May 20th, 1961, when a busload of black and white freedom riders arrived in Montgomery, Alabama, they were met with what Time magazine described as an idiot club-swinging mob of about 100. In this picture, we see SPLC founder Morris Dees' first client. The man on the ground with the camera getting kicked by Klansmen? That's not Morris Dees' client. This is Dees' client. Dees didn't defend the Freedom Riders who were viciously attacked, bloodied, and had their bus set on fire. Dees defended the KKK thug, the ringleader. And he got him off, in spite of it being widely reported, like this article in Life magazine. And Morris Dees got paid a lot of money, $5,000, which at the time was the median family income for a year. But this is what his bio on the SPLC website says. After launching a law practice in Montgomery in 1960, he won a series of groundbreaking civil rights cases. Maybe he should amend that to say that he won for the Klan, a leg-breaking case against civil rights activists. Morris Dees would have us believe that sometime after he got Klansman Claude Henley off, sometime after he cashed the check, that he decided that he would start suing the Klan for cash instead of defending the Klan for cash. Maybe it wasn't a moral epiphany, but a financial epiphany. He could make much more money doing direct mail fundraising to the public than he could suing. Criticisms of the SPLC from the left focus on how little it does other than fundraising, how much money it hoards for its endowment, and how much money it pays multimillionaire Morris Dees.
Okay, let's hold it right there. And if you want to see the rest of that report, I'll put that out. You can find it on the Alex Jones channel. It's Prophets of Hate. That's a couple of years old. So I'll put it up on my Twitter account, Libertarian, if you want to take a look at that. I'll do that after the show. But you know, here's the key. In 1996, the USA Today called the Southern Poverty Law Center the nation's richest civil rights organization with a $68 million bank account. At the time I wrote this 2 years ago, their bank account had grown to over $224 million. So yeah, there's a lot of profits in selling hatred and selling division. And that's precisely what is being orchestrated in this coming week. You're going to see this escalating. I'm telling you, this is an orchestrated protest against Donald Trump. It is a narrative that they are creating in the run-up to the inauguration, one of racism, to go along with Russia as well. But I want to take a look at some of the other things that are coming at the inauguration. Of course, we have those tolerant people at the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, now telling Donald Trump that he needs to get rid of Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, from the inaugural prayers. Now, he's going to be one of six clergymen who are going to be speaking at the January 20th inauguration. This is a report from WND. They say in a press release issued this week, CARE referred to the son of evangelist Billy Graham as a, quote, notorious Islamophobe. And they say Reverend Graham's ill-formed and extremist views are incompatible with the Constitution and with American values of religious liberty and inclusion. Really? Really? No, I would say that Islam is incompatible with the idea of religious liberty and inclusion. I would say that Islam is incompatible with the idea that we would have freedom of religion, free expression of religion that is protected in the First Amendment of the Constitution. Do you know of any theological Islamic country that is run by mullahs or by Sharia law? Do you know of any of those Islamic countries that tolerate religious plurality? No, they don't. They don't. There's not much that they tolerate from women, from homosexuals, from Christians. They got a long list of things that they don't tolerate. You see, when you go into these countries that are run, like Saudi Arabia, our closest ally, that gets so much, that contributed so much money to Hillary Clinton, when you look at those countries like Saudi Arabia, what they are doing is the antithesis of the First Amendment. They are theocracies. Sharia law and these countries that have mullahs running them are theocracies. And that's what American foreign policy has been doing, overthrowing secular governments, secular Islamic governments, like in Syria, as in Syria, to establish Sharia law, to establish caliphates. That's what ISIS is. We have been fighting on the side of ISIS, arming ISIS, avoiding bombing ISIS, dropping weapons to ISIS, turning over weapons to ISIS, not bombing the convoys of ISIS trucks, whether they're soldiers or whether they're shipping oil. No, we are on the side of those people who are against tolerance, the people who are against freedom of religion, the people who don't want any separation of church and state, which, by the way, is not in the Constitution, but they point out in this article of WND, AWOD was linked to the Holy Land Foundation. This is CARE. Now, these are the people who say that Franklin Graham is extremist. Franklin Graham should not be allowed to lead a prayer at the inauguration. CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, says that he should be taken out by Donald Trump. Now, this guy in particular, the leader who issued this statement, as pointed out by WND, was linked to the Holy Land Foundation terror funding case by wiretaps that showed him present at a 1993 Philadelphia meeting of Hamas leaders and activists, where participants hatched a plot to disguise payments to Hamas terrorists as $12 million in charitable giving. Five of the plotters were given substantial prison sentences, and now they want Barack Obama to give these guys a pardon. See? So they don't want Billy Graham, who spoke out against hatred like this, they don't want him to even be able to lead a prayer. That's the tolerance of the left. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you how the German people are excusing arson.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. This Sunday, January 15th, 2017, I'm David Knight. I want to get to the story that I teased at the end of the segment we just had. We've got a German court that says that synagogue torching is okay because it was meant to criticize Israel. You know, it's free speech. But then at the same time, we've now had a coalition from Angela Merkel saying we're going to really come after with some heavy penalties anybody who uses hate speech on social media. How's that for a head-wrenching contradiction? We're going to talk about that story in just a moment. Before we do, real quickly, I remind you that we have revived the Make Our Bodies Great Again initiative 2017. Again, this is a time of year that people start thinking about their health. It's a great time for you to set up healthy habits. And to help you do that, we've put a lot of our supplements on sale from 10% for DNA Force to 30% off for Brain Force, Super Male Vitality, and Survival Shield X2, our nascent iodine. But in this segment, since we've been talking about the terrorist event that happened in Orlando last year and the totally inappropriate reaction that John Lewis had, staging a sit-in demanding gun control, and I want to talk a little bit about things that you can do to protect yourself. And let's start by talking about defense. Because, you know, we've had several Democrat legislators even try to take away people's ability to passively protect themselves with bulletproof armor, with bulletproof vests. And that is something that is coming down the pike, folks. I don't understand how in the world they're going to justify that, especially in places like Chicago, where their policies have created gun-free killing zones. That place, as we've pointed out over and over again, last week we had Obama go back to Chicago and do his farewell speech. And if you look back at his legacy of 8 years, there's been about 4,000 people shot and killed in that place that has the tightest gun control of any place in the country. Why don't we see those kind of casualties in places where people are allowed to own guns? Well, you and I know the reason. The left will not admit it, but we know the reason. Because people can defend themselves. And so criminals are always going to have guns, and they're going to go to places where the victims have been disarmed by the state. And so those are the policies that Obama has been promoting. So to push back against that, we're selling body armor. We're even selling 80% lowers. You know, I was just talking to the crew, telling them how my daughter, when she came back from China, one of the first things we did, she was about 5 years old when we adopted her, we took her to Build-A-Bear, and we let her build that. And it really bothered me to see that slogan up there about it takes a village. You know, they paraphrased Hillary Clinton's, it takes a village. No, it doesn't take a village. It takes devoted parents to raise children, to give them the right values. It's a very dangerous thing for the government to raise your children, but that's what they always seek to do. But in spite of that, I looked at that and it kind of put me off on that activity, but she loved it. And now she's 15 years old, just turned 15. And I think it's time for her to build AR, to build an AR. That's right. We've got 80% lowers that we're selling at InfoWars store right now. This is new special operator tested 80% lowers now available. Designed, patented, and produced in Tennessee by the respected Tennessee Arms Manufacturing Group. There's an unconditional lifetime warranty. No questions asked return policy. It uses only marine-grade brass. This is something that you may not realize. It's perfectly legal for you to build your own gun. Now may be the time for my little girl to build her own gun and start learning how to use an AR-15, because AR-15s, in spite of what Joe Biden says, that is what you should be shooting, especially if you're a girl and you're having difficulty with strength issues or whatever. We showed that picture where he said, no, you need a shotgun. It's like, you know what? If you're not used to using shotguns, if you don't have a lot of upper body strength, an AR-15 allows you to shoot without the recoil, to shoot more accurately. And that's a really important thing to do when you're shooting a gun. You want to be able to shoot it accurately. So now maybe, I think, is the time for her to learn how to do that. Also, if you're not going to get a gun to protect yourself, if you're not going to go that route, at least protect yourself from bullets. This is something that even people in Chicago should be allowed to do. And we now have a patented form of carbon nanotube technology, the lightest, strongest, most flexible body armor on the market. It's only a quarter of an inch thick, but it is field tested to stop the most powerful pistol rounds in production. Waterproof, super lightweight, made in the USA, 20-year warranty. You'll find it exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com, and you can get it anywhere from a vest all the way down to the cheapest form, which you're seeing right now on the screen, which is a rectangular with rounded edges, rectangular insert. You can put that in your backpack. You can put that in your kid's backpack so that they are protected if they have to go to a gun-free killing zone like an airport or a school that we all have to frequent, but that they've taken people's ability to protect themselves away. So until we get that restored, be able to protect yourself by having something that will stop a bullet reliably. Now I want to talk about this speech case. Just absolutely amazing. This story, a German court calls a synagogue torching an act that was designed to criticize Israel. So see, it's okay. You can shout, you can't shout fire in a crowded theater. That's the classic example, right? They tell us free speech does not mean that you can shout fire in a crowded theater. And yet, in this particular case, this German court says, but setting the place on fire is protected free speech. If you want to protest somebody for being Jewish, okay, it is nothing but anti-Semitism. Let's call it what it is. And actually, Volker Beck, who is a leading Green Party member of parliament in Germany, said the attack on the synagogue was motivated by anti-Semitism. He said, what do Jews in Germany have to do with the Middle East conflict? Every bit as much as Christians, non-religious people, or Muslims in Germany. Namely, nothing. Absolutely nothing. So he says, the German court here says that it was okay to set this synagogue on fire because it was protesting Israeli policy against the vis-a-vis the Palestinians? No. He said these German Jews have nothing to do with that any more than Muslims living in Germany have to do with that policy. He said the ignorance of the judiciary towards anti-Semitism is for many Jews in Germany especially alarming. See, this is the problem with hate speech. The court looks at this and says, oh, this is an issue of hate speech versus free speech. No, it's an issue of arson. It's an issue of arson. The court also noted that the men had consumed alcohol and that there were no injuries to members of the synagogue. So that makes it okay. See, if you're drunk and you do it, it makes it okay. No, it doesn't. It doesn't make it okay if you're drunk. It doesn't make it okay if Israel did something, a foreign government does something, and then to say, well, because Israel did something, now we can punish Jews in this country. And it doesn't make it okay that nobody was hurt. You see, the issue with arson is that you are putting lives at risk, not only the lives of people that might be in the building, the lives of people who might be in adjacent buildings that might catch fire once you set a fire, but you're also putting at risk the lives of the firemen who have to come and put it out. That's why arson is taken so seriously, and it should be taken seriously. But we get back into this thing as to, well, is it hate speech or is it free speech? Whether no, it's just simply arson. We can't see the real essence, the real crime that is at the root of all this. And then the most amazing thing of it is that this was clearly anti-Semitism, and they give that a pass. And yet, what are we told by Angela Merkel? We've got Chancellor Merkel's government. This is a story from Bloomberg, saying that, of course, Facebook and Twitter are going to get massive fines if they don't crack down on social media for hate speech. Now, this was hate speech that set the synagogue on fire. The German court says that's okay, but they're going to do draconian measures for people on the internet, where nobody's going to get hurt. Absolutely amazing, because that is going to be, that was speech that favors the government policy. So if a government policy is favored, it's not an issue. They're going to let that go. But if they don't like what you're saying because you're critical of refugees.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we were just talking about the amazing positions taken in Germany. I'm just speechless here for a moment looking at what Merkel is doing at the same time saying we're going to prosecute hate speech on social media. But then you got a German court saying, hey, they set fire to a synagogue. We're going to let these guys go because they were protesting Israeli policies. And as the Green member of parliament said, these people here at the synagogue have absolutely nothing to do with Israeli foreign policy. This is anti-Semitism. Clear and simple. It was hate speech, and it was also dangerous arson. Arson is very dangerous, but of course you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, but you can burn the theater down as long as you're protesting Israel, I guess. That's okay, as long as you're doing something political. So now we have, and of course this is Merkel moving to the next step. We saw a couple of years ago, actually it was about a year and a half ago, September 2015, remember that hot mic situation between Angela Merkel and Zuckerberg of Facebook? And she was saying, you know, what are you going to do to shut down criticism of refugees? And he says, we're working on it. Well, maybe they're not working on it fast enough or hard enough for Angela Merkel, so now they're going to threaten fines. That'll give them at least justification So they'll come out and Facebook will say, well, we had to do this because they were going to give us fines. So we're going to shut down your free speech. We're going to shut down speech that the government thinks is dangerous because it criticizes their immigration policy, their open border policy. Take a look at what this lady is saying, this Danish journalist. This is a story on RT today. EU's new tool against political opponents is to link them to Russia. You see, what they want to do, it's not about hate speech. It's really about censoring people who oppose the government, censoring people who oppose globalism. And, of course, the open borders that are represented by bringing in massive numbers of Muslims who then are allowed to set synagogues and churches on fire. And it's okay because they're just protesters, right? They're just exercising their free speech when they cut the heads off of statues at Christian churches. They're just exercising their free speech when they attack people for being Christians, when they attack people for being Jewish. But, of course, the government and the EU is attacking people for being Russian or having links to them if you criticize their policies. And that's the point that this Danish journalist, Iben Thranholm, said. It's a lady. She's been branded as a Russian propagandist. See, that's what our arbiters, our Ministry of Truth, as we've now created and made the State Department with endowing it with $160 million over 2 years. It's going to be our new Ministry of Truth. They're going to identify who the propagandists are and then come after them. And this is what's happening already in the EU. This lady, a Danish journalist, was branded as a Russian propagandist. She was included on an EU blacklist, a blacklist, for comments that she made on immigration policy. And she tells RT that such character assassinations have become the new go-to tactic of Western governments. She explained her reservations about the EU's current migrant policy in an op-ed piece that she penned, and about its inability to properly integrate Muslim migrants into European society. She's also written a piece for RT earlier in which she explained how she said the quote-unquote spiritual vacuum that has been created by Western cultural nihilism. Western cultural nihilism. See, that's what we call in America Hollywood. That is Western cultural nihilism at its core. She says Western cultural nihilism is the core factor behind growing Muslim radicalization within the EU. She says, today it is me who is on the blacklist. Tomorrow it could be a different journalist who has similar views. They claim that I'm damaging, that I'm doing harm to the European Union just for criticizing them. I criticize them for their immigration policy. She said that the way they deal with this is to link the person with Russia. See, this is what's going to happen with the State Department here with their $160 million grant. They're going to link us to Russia if we criticize their policy, just like they're linking Donald Trump to Russia. Or they're going to claim that such close ties between this person and Russia. Then this person is not just trustworthy anymore. It's a kind of character assassination. Exactly. And then she goes on with this meme of Western cultural nihilism. She says, secularism, relativism of values, materialism, and democracy as a new religion, an idolatry that's devoid of a deity, constantly prove that they are feeble and inadequate when facing Islamicism. This is why CARE doesn't want Franklin Graham to lead a prayer at the Trump inauguration. See, the only way that we're going to fight back against the Hollywood people who, thankfully, are going to be boycotting this. Who needs them? I don't care if they're there. I don't care if these Democrat politicians like John Lewis are there. Who cares if they boycott it? Who cares if the Hollywood people who are destroying our culture, destroying us spiritually, culturally, and in every other way, constitutionally, who cares if these snowflakes show up? You know, they just put out another video where they say, well, we're going to survive this. We thought about this. We went into our safe places, and we're going to survive the Donald Trump presidency. Well, let's hope that your careers don't, because I'm not going to be giving you any money. I could care less about that stuff anymore. One of the things that he's going to have to deal with, of course, is going to be the Republican establishment as well as the Democrat establishment. NPR has an article today, you know, that vow to defund Planned Parenthood. Well, it's easy to say and it's hard to do. See, it's easier to kill a baby than it is to kill the funding of killing a baby. That's the bottom line here. And, of course, the person who's going to be opposing Donald Trump on most of this stuff, he doesn't oppose him, I don't think, on the abortion issue, although Paul Ryan really hasn't done anything, has he, in the wake of the scandals that we saw where they were getting body parts from Planned Parenthood. What did Paul Ryan do? Nothing. And, of course, Paul Ryan is somebody who has always been on the side of open borders, open immigration, And he told some people on Friday, he said, gave assurances. He said, quote, we are not going to pull the rug out from under undocumented immigrants. Let me translate that for you. If you're a foreign citizen, that's what they call undocumented immigrants. If you're a foreign citizen who is here illegally, undocumented immigrant, in other words, you're a foreign citizen here illegally and you're demanding benefits, you're going to get them from Paul Ryan. He's going to make sure that you can stay, that you can get all those benefits. And of course, DACA for the Dreamers, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, and that includes people up to the age of 31, Glenn Beck, you know, these, like I said before, you didn't need to go down to the border and hand out teddy bears to people at 8 years old. You did not have unaccompanied minors making their way across Central America and Mexico and into the United States border at 8 years old. If these people need a teddy bear, they couldn't have made that journey unaccompanied, okay? So the whole thing is a lie. And the fact that they include people up to the age of 31 should tell you something about that. And I'll just say that, you know, the only people that have a dream that is respected anymore, the people who are Americans who have an American dream of owning a home, for example, they're going to lose that American dream of owning their home because they're going to have to pay for the education of any foreign citizen who wants to come here and demand an education at our expense, because most of our property taxes are most go to paying for education. And we're going to have to educate these children in whatever language they choose to be educated in. If they come here from China, we've got to educate them in Chinese. If they come here from Burma, then we've got to educate them in whatever dialect they speak. So it's not enough that they just come here and want to be educated in a foreign language. We've got to have scores of teachers in some of these districts that speak scores of languages to educate these children, because heaven forbid that we would ever want to educate them in English, because we don't want them to assimilate. That would defeat the whole purpose of open borders if everybody were to come together with a common language. No, we want a Tower of Babel country. We want to divide people. We want to keep them divided, and we want to bring in a replacement population to replace this culture. Now, in other issues, we also see Ryan gearing up to oppose Donald Trump. Here's one. Donald Trump says he wants a Buy America foreign policy. He says, my administration will follow two simple rules. We will buy American and hire Americans, right? We're going to do it, said Donald Trump. He said that with his thank you tour rallies in December. But at the same time, we've got people like Paul Ryan saying, no, we're not going to do that. And the very first thing that they did was in an infrastructure bill that had a Buy American clause in it, they shut that down. They shut that down, and a Democrat senator called him on it. She said their position against Buy America is at stark odds with the president-elect, who has repeatedly pledged two rules for rebuilding the nation's infrastructure, Buy American and Hire American, and they're not doing it. That's Paul Ryan, the same guy who says that a ban on lobbying would be bad. We don't want to stop lobbyists, okay? That would be dangerous to the political establishment. This is the guy that is going to be the chief opposition to Donald Trump, Paul Ryan. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with Alex Jones. He has a special report right after the break.
Corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Finally today, I want to just talk about the climate we're all living in. People ask me continually, Alex, are you for real? Do you really get this excited? How do you do it without drugs? Why do you have so much energy? And the answer is, I'm passionate. Now, I do tend to sometimes let myself get impassioned because I genuinely feel that way, but I, as I've described it, let the dog off the leash and blow up on air or engage in one of the rants that are so popular. For what reason, I'm not sure sometimes. But I guess in a nation of people that are unconscious and basically suffering from a form of zombiosis, it's effective, so we can't argue with it. But lately, I've been so excited that even though I'm sitting here at a desk with a list of notes in front of me, and I've eloquently thought all this out in my mind, I quite frankly cannot help but start hyperventilating when I try to talk about just how huge and positive these developments are. It is such a big deal that after 50 years of the global government project being built in stealth and the elites denying it, that patriots like Red Beckman, you know, 50-something years ago, and Ronald Reagan, for that matter, and people like Barry Goldwater, that fought so hard to expose what was going on and to speak out and got laughed at and got bullied and got demonized by the mainstream media, back when there was basically no broadcast media, radio or TV, to challenge them, only underground newsletters and books. So imagine, the nightly news back then had like 20 million viewers per channel. So you're talking about 20, 50, 60, 100 million people watching mainstream news and lies every night versus Barry Goldwater writing a couple books. I mean, it was really, really, really hard to counter them. But by the mid-1970s, there were books out there like None Dare Call a Conspiracy by Gary Allen, whose son now runs Politico. What a disgrace, how he's turned his back on America, but that's a side issue, that sold over 10 million copies. Some say it's like 20 million now, but it was confirmed 10 million back in the 70s. And just the fact that, sure, they had 5, 6, 7 times the viewers every night of what that one book did in a few years. But because the truth was so strong and exposed the entire blueprint of the operation, that book is what they call evergreen and has sent shockwaves, ripples throughout the pond that are now devastating the New World Order. And now think about what the globalists have to face, where we have tens of millions of visitors to InfoWars every day, when we have tens of millions of people that tune in conservatively every week, tens of millions that watch us on YouTube every week alone. Again, that's not bragging. That's telling you the success we've all had together. And now global government is collapsing. They're having to admit it's global government. See, I'm getting chills right now. They're having to admit the communist Chinese are at the heart of it and that a deal was made with them in the 70s to take over the planet. And they're having to lecture us and threaten us. And it's in the news that, oh my gosh, Hollywood's scared that Trump won't let the communist Chinese buy all 6 controlling interests in the production companies. Of course you shouldn't do that. China won't even let most of our films into China. Now we're going to let our media be controlled by them? And you know, Hollywood's so traitorous and so treacherous and has already been an enemy of this country. It's already been working for the globalists for so long. Part of me just says, fine, be communist Chinese run. You'll make yourselves only that much more illegitimate and no one will listen to you. In fact, I want to tell Trump, it's a free market. Let the foreign communist dirtbag state come in and take over Hollywood, fine. But don't let them sit there in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, as they've done the last few months, and lecture us how, quote, fake populist news has to be shut down. Coming from mass murderers, the biggest in history, what a sick joke. You go right to hell, you dirty commies. You want to come buy filthy anti-American Hollywood up? Good. It's perfect for you. You take that disease onto yourself. Oh, but that's the thing. They won't let all the anti-family, pro-homosexual stuff in Hollywood propaganda into China. Look it up. They execute gays in China. So see, they see Hollywood as so toxic, the communist Chinese won't even let their garbage into their country. So in a way, Hollywood's so bad, maybe the biggest mass murderers in history will reform you. That's how sick you are. See, when you really try to look at all the angles of this, it just makes your head spin, doesn't it? The point is, that's how discredited and collapsing and failing L.A. is that now its savior is the demonic communist Chinese. So again, why do I get so excited? Why do I start hyperventilating? Because we're having devastating victories coming a lot quicker than I even thought they would. This is such a beautiful time to be alive. But then I want to use one case point example, and I'm going to leave the end of this today, but Nine has done such a great job today. Okay? You've got this Congressman Lewis that came out, and his claim to fame was in Selma, Alabama in 1960-something, a state trooper split his head open. And so when he attacks Trump and says Trump is illegitimate and shouldn't be president and is a Russian spy, I mean, those are fighting words. People magazine, CNN, all of them came out with the headline, Trump attacks civil rights icon. And you go read, you think he put on a KKK hat and went and burned down a church. And that you got, in these articles, you got to read down to the middle of them to even find out that this guy attacks Trump, goes on these TV shows and says that he's basically a Russian agent with no proof. I mean, you tell me that to my face, I'm going to get really angry. I mean, those are fighting words, folks. I'm sick of this crap. He literally slaps Trump upside the head with a metal gauntlet. Trump politely says, I need your help trying to get jobs to black communities. Will you please stop it? I want to work with you. That is super high road. And then the media transmutes it into the lie that he hates a guy because he's black. Well, let me tell that guy something. Let me pull the article up right here. I'm going to pull it up right now. Got them on the road. Takes a while to pull these up. Here it is. People Magazine. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a worse headline than I said. It's always worse than I say. Cowardly Donald Trump faces backlash for attacking legendary civil rights leader John Lewis. I looked into John Lewis. You know who John Lewis has bought and paid for? Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, the same crews as usual that want to turn us all into a bunch of poor renters. He's anti-gun. But he supports all of Obama's wars. The guy is a dirtbag. Let me tell you something. The fact that you got your head split hijacking a civil rights movement that Martin Luther King started and try to turn yourself into some type of hero is a joke. Doesn't cover for your warmongering. Doesn't cover for your turning your people into a bunch of debt slaves that live on a government plantation. It doesn't cover for the fact that you're a limousine liberal, disgusting, race-baiting pimp. But it gets worse, doesn't it? It gets worse. John Lewis. You go along with the media and you cowardly attack someone, and now Lewis has been back in the news attacking Trump for responding back to him. Since when in which world does somebody call you a foreign agent and then you're not allowed to even respond back to him? You know, let me tell you something. I was, for no reason, body slammed by a state wrestling champion who happened to be black when I was 15 years old, and it created a subdermal hematoma and put me in the hospital and split my head open with a 7-inch huge gash with blood spraying everywhere. Do they put me on the news and say he was attacked by a racist black man? Imagine if 50 years later, I was walking around going, no one can criticize me. A black person split my head open. A black person split my head open. I mean, this is such a... Oh, you know what? I've had black people split open both my eyebrows. Of course, I've also fought white guys and Hispanics. I grew up in Dallas. It was rough. But the point is, since when do you run around? I've had the police ram my head when I got arrested in Austin. It wasn't the police. It was a jail guard into the wall and put a huge bruise on me. It's a little redheaded jail guard. I mean, do I run around saying the whites are all racist because that happened? This is the craziest crap. Since when did this guy die and go to heaven as this invincible person no one can criticize because the state police hit him in the head with a baton in 1960, whatever it is? I mean, this is crazy. And I'm so sick of it. This traitorous dinosaur is criticizing our populist champion, Trump, and making up crap about him, and then won't even take criticism back. That makes me want to throw up. You can dish it out, but you can't take it. I think Trump wasn't hard enough on you, scumbag. You're nothing but a race pimp who's destroyed his own people. Why don't you say something about how half the black people are aborted? Oh, I know. You wouldn't get that Margaret Sanger money anymore, would you? You're nothing but a vampire feeding on your own people, and you make me sick. And you should join Trump trying to bring jobs and factories into black areas, scumbag. Now back to David Knight, the conclusion of this worldwide transmission. No matter what they do, the giant's rising. No matter what they do, they're not going to stop the signal of human liberty empowering all. I don't care what color you are, the sleeping giant is rising.
That's it for today's broadcast. Join us tomorrow at 11 Central. And we're going to have more on the Alex Jones Show. You can see it on internet as well as catch it on your local radio station. That's it for today's broadcast. I'm David Knight.